Hope everyone's enjoying their summer. So an idea on Chukat, which for those of you in Israel, you read it yesterday, and now that I'm on in North America, so we'll read it this coming week. So Chukat begins with the laws of the Paradumah, which is the paradigmatic chok. Now there's a machloket. We've shown him whether a chok is a law that has no rationale or has a rationale, but not one that is either easy to understand, or maybe it's impossible to understand by human beings. It's impenetrable, but it has an underlying rationale. But whatever it is, it's a law that human beings, at least most human beings, do not understand. And the question really is, what is the value of a chok? Now, in some sources in Chazal, you find that the value of a chok is obedience, is understanding the notion of zerahi milfanai, that God has decreed something. But Rabbi Sachs suggests that it's more than that. There are many different ways you could take this, but I'll share his. And that is that the value of chok, and for those of you who are there, when Dr. Lieben spoke, he spoke a lot about this, is understanding the value of humility, of the limits of your intellect, of epistemic humility, and as Ray Sachs notes, this doesn't mean that you don't believe in rationality. Of course you believe in rationality, but it's also perfectly rational to recognize that there are limits to reason, there are limits to the human mind, there are boundaries. And in order, as he writes, wisdom, if it is to truly be wise, must respect its own boundaries. And he notes that there is a whole group of very serious thinkers who thought that this was really the key to understanding a lot of the fundamental things that drive society, from economics to politics and the like. So, for example, Adam Smith thought that the key to markets was to understand that they were driven by the invisible hand, which, whatever exactly it means, and there's obviously much discussion about this, means that at some level, the key to a successful market is to not try to control it, but to let it run, and it seems to work by itself in a way that no individual can really understand. And the person who really took this as the organizing principle of their life was Hayek. And Friedrich Hayek, in his final book, The Failed Conceit, he talks about how many failures of the modern world, and here he's aiming it at socialism and communism, and other attempts at social engineering, came about because of the fatal conceit, which he believed was the belief that we can plan human destiny in advance by the application of rationality. And what he noted is that so much of things are, and whenever you try to plan something comprehensively, you end up with the law of unintended consequences, that because human beings are not capable of understanding everything, so any attempt to fully and comprehensively organize something from the top down is going to fail. And therefore, at some level, you need to have a certain humility and pull back. Now, for Hayek and for Smith, right, these had political implications, but what Ray Sachs points out is that at some level, this could be what a chok is about recognizing that as smart as we are, if we try to control everything because we think we understand everything, there's always going to be unintended consequences. And therefore, it's critical to a legal system, especially a divine legal system, where the one who set up the laws really does know everything, to remind us that we don't, that there are things we don't understand. And if we think that we understand everything and we'll only do things because we understand them and only do things because they make sense to us and only do things because we think we can see exactly where this is going to lead, it's not going to work. There needs to be something that reminds us that there are things in this world that happen that we can't foresee, that we can't understand. And kal vachomer, right? This is not in Hayek's thought. But when you bring God into the picture, right, for Hayek, no one can understand what's going to happen. No one can have the full picture. And therefore, you just have to be limited in how much you organize things from the top down. But in a religious system where there is one being who can understand everything and can understand the consequences, direct and indirect, of what you do, namely God, for God to incorporate into his legal system chok, as a reminder that we, the participants in the system, may not understand everything, but he does, right, is that much more meaningful. And again, I think this is true whether you think that a chok is something that has no rationale or has a rationale, but it's hidden from us, or it's hard for us to understand. The idea that we treat something as a law which we don't need or expect to understand down to its last detail, and that nevertheless we do it, reminds us of the importance in religious life and life in general of having a little bit of epistemic humility, of not claiming that we need to or can understand everything. And again, as for those of you who are there, what we talked about with Dr. Liebens, the ability to incorporate that into your life and to recognize that it's not irrational to not always need to explain everything yourself, at first sounds counterintuitive, but in fact makes a lot of sense, right? To recognize that it's perfectly rational to live your life in a way where you do as much as you can to understand as much as you can, as deeply as you can, as carefully as you can, but recognize that it's rational to say we can't understand everything and therefore respect those limits. That, I think, is a very powerful idea, and helps us frame why the Torah would incorporate chukim.